Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Curator Podcast. This is episode 40. Hi, hello, welcome once again, dear listener, to the Curator Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Fraser, and this is episode number 40. You're probably sick of hearing that by now. If you're a regular listener, you're probably sick of the same intro, but you've got to have some kind of continuity, don't you? I think you do, anyway. Thank you for all the support over the past couple of weeks. It's really, really appreciated. Last week's interview was a little bit late, and I do apologise for that, but I'm back on time this week, and I'll be back on time next week, and the week after, and, you know, well, I'm going to try my hardest to keep it on time, but sometimes life gets in the way, man, and what can you do about it, you know? On this episode, I have a really great interview with Muncie Girls. This is my third interview with the whole band, and this time it was conducted in their lovely van, which is great. I actually like recording in vans. They've got quite a dead sound inside. Sometimes you get the sound of traffic passing by, but, you know, most of the time there's no echo or anything like that, you know, so I think you get quite a nice sound. Anyway, spoke to Muncie Girls because they were playing in Glasgow with Taliesin on their most recent UK tour, and yeah, just really informative, engaged people, you know, I've seen a lot of people label them as a political band of late, but, you know, they're just a great punk band, and I think some of the best punk bands of this great way of combining politics, personal and other issues, and Muncie Girls do that and extraordinarily well, I think. Their new album from Cat Antebellum Size just came out recently, and it is pretty good. I like the whole pop rock thing. Got a really kind of cool early 90s sort of pop punk pop rock vibe, which I really, really dig. I was speaking to somebody about this at the gig, and I mentioned it in the interview as well, but some of the chord changes, progressions, I get a wee bit of a Manic-y vibe. Some people have told me that I'm a bit mad for saying that. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm getting old and I'm just starting to lose touch. I don't know. Or maybe I just love the Manics too much. Who knows? But yeah, I definitely get some of that, and maybe you do too. If you do, please come and tell me. If you don't, also please tell me. Just say, Mark, you're a fucking idiot. Why are you saying that? That doesn't make any sense. They're not even influenced by them. What the fuck is wrong with you? Even if you want to say that to me, I'm cool with that. It's good to know that somebody's listening, I guess. Anyway, as you can probably tell from the title, I didn't really talk about this in the interview so much because I wanted to keep it for this wee bit here, you see. I wanted to keep a wee nugget of my own thought to put in before the actual interview. As you can probably tell, the title of the album comes from the Sylvia Plath book, The Bell Jar. And for me, listening to the album, the way that it begins with Learning School and the way that it ends with No Recording, it's kind of got almost a novelistic flow. It opens with a statement of intent, telling you to pay attention, basically. It's all about the things you don't learn in school, but it's almost like a call to arms. It's telling you to wake up and pay attention. Or even if you are paying attention, just to be aware of the fact that there are some things that we just don't learn in school. And I think politics is definitely one of them. And the way the album ends as well, it ends on another kind of political note about taking action. And it almost seems like a good summation of everything that's transpired over the past 10 tracks of the album. And it gives it a really nice flow. It's also interspersed with personal stories as well, which for me makes it a pretty affecting record, and I enjoyed it very much. Hope it's going to crack right into it after I play a song from the record. This song is called Gas Mark 4. Gas Mark 4.
with the whole Wincy Girls, which is awesome. I've only interviewed, this is the third full band I've interviewed. Yeah, I usually just do like one or two people. So this is good. I like the whole band vibe, it's nice. So how are you guys doing?
Well,
good, thank you.
Yeah,
How's the tour been so far? He says, try to make up some time while he gets his questions out.
It's been good. It's been pretty chill, actually.
Super chilled.
So this is obviously not our first rodeo, as well. How's it been compared to other tours? I don't usually ask this question, by the way. I'm probably going to edit this out, but
it's been pretty different, actually, because we've been trying. We're trying to not drink and stay super healthy and super hydrated and eat loads of fruit.
And nuts.
And nuts, yeah.
Yeah, we've been waiting to crack open this mango. You can't see that because that's on the podcast, but there's quite a big mango here.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why a mango?
You can't see that either. But,
oh, yeah.
That makes sense. £1 reduced to 10p, and that's a bargain.
Why not a mango?
So why so healthy, guys?
Why not?
Yeah.
We've got, like, loads of tours coming up, and we're like, let's just look after
We're testing the longevity of touring, you know, seeing if it's realistic. Mm. So we don't want to just, like, be hospitalised by the time we're 24 or something, so...
24?
Yeah.
What are you guys?
Well, actually, Luke is 24, but we're 22.
I made it.
I feel like an old man. I'm 30. Right, so this podcast, I don't know if you've heard it before, but it's about passion and creativity, which is such a vague and wide thing to say. But I like to start off with origin stories, so not just the origin story of your band, which you guys have already spoken about in other interviews anyway, but I guess individually, when did you first realise you wanted to be musicians?
Luke, you've got a good one, haven't you?
Have I?
I've heard some really embarrassing ones, so there's nothing you can say that's going to be particularly bad.
Do I have a good one?
Well, just how young you are.
Yeah, I don't remember, like, when I first wanted to be a musician. I don't know if I ever made that choice. I started playing... My dad made me a little, like, drum kit out of pots and pans when I was, like, 3 years old. And then I started playing drums then, and then never stopped. And then played guitar at school, and then just... Yeah, I started playing in bands when I was in, like, middle school, and then realised that was the only thing I was good at. So, just carried on doing that. Carried on rocking.
Yeah, I don't think I ever actually thought, oh, I want to be in a band. I just ended up in a band, and, yeah. Does anyone actually think that? I just played bass and that, and liked bands, and then ended up doing it. I don't think I've ever thought... Oh, that would be a great thing to do. I've always thought it was a kind of stupid thing to do, but I just sort of carried on doing it.
Like, in my experience so far, a lot of people can either pinpoint it to one particular moment, or they've maybe had music in the house and they've decided it seemed logical to do it, or for unknown, in my own case, it was a particular song, which is why I like to ask questions, because everyone's answers are usually so different.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of why I like...
There's probably, like, defining moments where I was like, I want to do this, like... properly, you know, rather than just playing like bands with my mates here and there. I want to do it and do like kind of nothing else. There's probably moments like that just from seeing other bands. I remember going to see like the Bouncing Souls when I was 15, and my brother's having to sneak me into the venue and like seeing them, because I just loved that band, and that was like one of the first times I was like, I want to do that and just play shows like that, which probably will never happen because they are very good.
Yeah, but you got to have something to work towards.
Yeah, exactly. That was a one moment I can remember.
That's interesting, because I would imagine that for a lot of people, they kind of look upon becoming a musician as being like a hobby thing. And then I was going to ask, like, when did you guys decide to make the jump to? I mean, because you guys have done a lot of tours, you know, and that's not something that you've got to make a conscious decision at some point that this is something you're going to drive for. Does that make sense?
Sort of, but I think it's one of those things where, like, as soon as you try and do it like that, it will go wrong. So I think we're avoiding trying to actually, you know, make it that sort of thing. Like, we just think of it as, like, each tour as it comes, and, yeah, because I think that's what keeps it fun as well. As soon as it becomes, like, this sort of project, you know, in a sense, it just becomes, like, a little bit tiring, I suppose, and a little bit... Like, if we put too much into it, I think we'd just be let down at some point. But at the moment, it's really just super fun, and that's why it keeps going, I think.
Yeah, I think it's like it's the most opportunities we've had to do what we want to do. So rather than having some master plan, we're just trying to make the most of each opportunity. And like, yeah, if a tour comes up, we're like, yeah, we'll do that. Or like, let's just try and keep like evolving as a band and to not really think beyond 6 months.
Yeah, and it's quite funny as well because we've already done so much more than we ever thought we would.
Yeah.
And every time we get offered something like that's even better, we're just like, what? This is crazy. But it's like, yeah, it's really funny. And yeah, it's great.
I don't think that sense of surprise ever goes away. Like, oh shit, someone's asked us to do this.
Yeah.
Wow, that's totally amazing. Like, I can't imagine what that'd be like. It's just why I'm doing a podcast, because I'm trying to figure out what it'd be like, because that's not how I see my life going, you know what I mean, despite the fact that I'm a musician. But one of the reasons I ask about creativity as well is because choosing to be a creative person, even if it's not a choice, is it's a weird thing to do. And it kind of comes back. It was like the first song on the album is about things you haven't been taught at school, and you're not taught creativity at school either.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
So that's one of the reasons why I kind of wanted to bring it up as well, because it's like another, we're not taught politics or anything like that either, obviously, but we're not taught, like, the last thing you're taught is creativity as well, because it's a kind of all in the same kind of vein of like, well, it's not going to be a vocation, so
yeah,
kind of useless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's definitely a weird thing. I don't think I realised that I was an actual creative person till I started writing songs, because when I was younger and I used to really love art and play music and stuff, but I could only ever like copy pictures or copy songs, and it wasn't until I actually wrote songs and then I started writing lyrics and stuff that I realised, oh, maybe actually I am quite a creative person. And like, then I realised all the things that I have been creative in the past, and then sort of continued with it. But for ages I thought, I know that I do creative things, but I'm not a creative person. And then when I kind of realised that I was, I think that was really, like, that was such a great feeling. And then that's something that's inspired me as well to keep doing a band. Because it's like a constant outlet. Mm-hmm. And because bands are, like, popular, like, being in a band is something that, you know, you can do, and people always like bands, and I love bands. So it seems like a really kind of safe outlet for creativity.
Speaking about bands, when I was listening to the album earlier on, I was coming in, and I'm probably biased by saying this, but I heard a lot of, I heard some influences for the Manic Street Preachers. Is that a thing? Am I making that up?
Well, that's a funny one, because
that's not a direct influence.
I used to love Manic Street Preachers when I was really young. My brother really liked them, but I've never actively tried to sound like them or anything. But yeah, I definitely used to listen to them when I was younger. No one's ever said that to us before.
Yeah. No, it's a new one.
I'm trying to break new ground, man. That's what I'm all about.
I like it.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So let's talk about that album. You were sitting on it for like a year. What was that like?
Sorry, what?
You were sitting on the album for like a year.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What was that like?
It was over a year, actually. Just over. It was actually fine. Like, I thought, oh my god, that's so long to have to wait. And it did kind of suck, because we wanted people to hear it, but like, we were progressively doing stuff towards the release that whole time, you know? So we weren't just sitting around being like, 6 months left, you know? Like, we were like planning it and like getting it all ready and still touring and that sort of thing.
At the beginning of that year, wait, we were like, how is this even possible? Like, we're not going to be able to, we're going to hate the songs. But then it was weird, like, we didn't realise that we'd be doing so much other stuff, like, towards it. Like, we just definitely didn't realise that would be a thing, that we'd actually have stuff to do. So that was quite good, and that was a nice surprise. Because I thought we were going to be, like, just, like, completely lose interest, but somehow we didn't.
That's weird that you didn't lose interest, because I think I would have done, so I guess...
But we thought we would, but then, yeah, it's weird, yeah, a year didn't really seem that long. And I think we'd been a band for so long anyway. It's kind of just a fraction of the time we've been a band together. And also it was a good period of time, I think, like getting everything ready and stuff.
It was really exciting, because loads of stuff was going on, like, towards it, and it felt like there was a real build-up, like... And as well, like, we were releasing songs for, like, since, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, a few months before the album came out. So people were, like, hearing a song, like, every few weeks or something. So, yeah, it was cool.
Have you guys been happy with how it's been received?
Yeah,
definitely.
Totally.
It's been,
It's wild. I literally thought no one would care. Like, I thought, like, our friends would care and... that's about it. And then, yeah, like, it's just really weird. Like, loads of people seem to be into it, which is just crazy, because I totally had... I had, like, limited amount of faith in it. I knew that I liked it and that we liked it, and that was about it. And so, yeah, I don't think we really had many expectations.
Yeah.
I say that now, and it's pretty awesome. I like it a lot, anyway. This, my opinion on this podcast is not one that matters, guys.
So.
No, I'm kidding. So, a couple of interviews you've done before, because I do some research, because you don't want to get asked fucking questions all the time. It's totally boring, man. You were saying that you've kind of changed some of the lyrical focus to be a bit more upfront.
Yeah.
Than your older stuff. What was that like? Was that did you make a conscious decision to that? Well, you must have done. But what was it like making that choice?
Well, I don't know really, because I thought I've always written, like, I'm always like really scared of being like of writing cliched lyrics and also just saying the same things that everyone else says. So I never wanted to be too upfront about topics and stuff. So I've always tried to like not dodge around stuff, but like say it in a way that would be slightly kind of cryptic or something. But it turned out that no one got it and that it was too vague. So like there's a bunch of like heavily political lyrics in like a lot of our songs and no one ever picked up on it. And then I realised that to kind of speak to more people, and also people aren't going to like look into lyrics because that's not something that many people are interested in. So I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to actually say it like as you would sort of say it in a conversation. And yeah, actually people did pick up on that. So it was really cool. But like, I think at the time I was worried that it was cheesy and like really obvious. And I still am worried about that. But I think it was kind of worth it in a way. But yeah, it was a learning curve because I realised that that's what people respond to. So yeah, it was kind of, yeah, it was a bit worrying in a way. Like I thought, oh, this could just be hideous and we'd lose like any sense of credibility if we had any to begin with. But yeah, it seems to have gone all right.
People seem to have responded really well to it as well. I guess it's one of the things that your band gets more popular. You can have that like a position to say something to
more
people.
Exactly, yeah, know? Yeah. Yes, yeah, it's a bit of pressure, but it's really exciting as well.
Yeah.
So you're happy for that to continue then?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. It's like when someone, you know, picks you out of a crowd and is like, well, what do you think about that? And then half of you is like, oh my God, please not me. And half of you is like, finally, like, I can say what I think, you know? So that, yeah, it is really cool. But yeah, definitely. I think that's like, for me, I know like I write the lyrics, but for me, that's my favourite part about being in a band is like having a platform to actually sort of air some views and also just like realise how I feel about things. Like, it's not until I actually sit down and write a song that I kind of realise half the things that I thought. So
I think it's the same in anybody's creative process. When they're unpacking it, they don't really realise what they're saying until like it could be months or years after the fact that you've kind of said something that maybe speaks to you quite profoundly even when you're older but didn't at the time. Does
that make sense?
Because one thing I was kind of wondering as well is you've got you guys, because you've been getting kind of obviously more press and stuff like that, a lot of people have been sort of maybe saying you're kind of a political band, which if you listen to the album and you listen to the lyrics in the album, they're not all political songs, because it'd be, I think I love bands like Anti-Flag and stuff like that, and I've interviewed Pat for this podcast, but I think after a while if you're doing like a completely political album, it's kind of like, oh man, I get it, right? Stop shouting at me, please.
Yeah. I also think with things like that, not to criticise at all, because I think they're a great band and stuff,
well,
and not
awesome,
them,
yeah.
But like, you start to only play music to the people who already agree with you, whereas if you kind of can draw people in with like more popular topics like relationships and stuff, and then suddenly they're introduced to like certain political ideas, I think that is actually going to spread a little bit wider just among people's viewpoints. So you can be right wing and know what it's like to fall out with someone or to fall in love with someone, and then suddenly you might be having to hear some kind of lefty politics and maybe you question yourself a little bit. Not that that's like an intention to do it, but I kind of like, for me, that would be why I'd listen to like a band more if they were kind of half political, half personal. It's just, I guess, a bit more relatable, and like you said, it's less tiresome. Maybe
one thing I was wondering when I was listening to the album as well is when, like, I've asked a musical question, but can you remember when your political awakening was? And obviously that's for everybody, it's not just for Andy, but, like...
Yeah, we were thinking about this before, I think. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I think when I was, like, it went in stages, so different parts, but I remember I was 16 when I started listening to punk bands, like, the second time round. I listened to, like, Rancid and stuff when I was, like, 10 years old, but I didn't really do anything to my political views. yeah, but, you know, just because, like, I had the older siblings and stuff. But when I was 16, I started to really... started to realise that, like, racism was a big issue. And then I was about 17 when the Tories got into power. So that was, like, a big talking point among our, like, friends and stuff. And then I was 18 when I got into feminism. So it's kind of gone, like, it was in stages, I guess, but...
I think everyone just goes through that stage of life where you can't avoid it. Because, like, you get older and things actually affect you, you know? Everything, like, around you affects you a lot more, you know? When you're a kid, you can kind of just get by a bit more, like, not thinking of anything. And it's... I think everyone hits that point in their life where you're like, oh, okay, like... these things do affect me and the people around me, and I need to be more aware of what's going on. And I think that's just, rather than it being a significant moment, like, I think, yeah, like, you just get to that point in life where you're like, oh, okay, I need to be a bit more aware, and it kind of naturally happens, you know, where you feel like you need to look more into stuff and you need to have your own opinions and your own thoughts and look into, like, avenues of people who have similar thoughts and, you know, kind of have your own, like, input on it, I get.
It's cool when that happens. Well, not cool, but I always find it kind of startling that kind of political awakening. The same kind of thing happened to me when I was in my teens. It also happens at the same point where, like, you're emotionally very, like, an open wound. So it kind of ties in, like, you feel it really deeply.
Yeah, you know?
And a lot of people do that, and then they kind of... they fall into life and they get a job and it's like, oh well, I can't do anything about it, so
yeah,
why bother anymore?
Yeah,
but I think it takes a certain kind of person to keep going, to keep plowing that furrow and kind of going, well, actually no, we should keep caring about this because we have to.
Yeah, because if you don't, then someone else may not. Mm. And it's like, if you feel that deeply about something, you need to, like, not just settle, you know, because everyone who settles doesn't change anything, does it? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's really hard to, like... it's hard to remember how you felt about something the first time you realised... or the first time you, like, noticed an injustice or something. But, yeah, I've noticed a few times recently when I've seen, like, issues raised around, like, sexism and stuff. Sometimes if they're a little bit obvious, or how I first, like, got... like, how I first became aware of stuff. If something happens like that and I see someone reacting, I kind of think... oh yeah, like, well, yeah, obviously. And I need to, like, fight that, because that's how I felt, like, when I first got into it. And, like, but it is really hard to go, like, well, yeah, don't we all know that that's an issue, or, you know. And so it's like, I think it's like, takes a conscious effort to actually remember that, you know, those things that you first felt are still there, but yeah, you just settle into, like, whatever else you're doing, and you just kind of forget that first feeling of it.
One thing that I've noticed is when I've gotten older and people I've went to school with and stuff like that as well, it's like people, as they get older, they do tend to care less not because they get apathetic about the world, but sure, that's a big part of it. But also this huge thing of, like, well, I don't want to be around anybody or anything that's different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
being in a band kind of keeps you getting involved in those kind of circles of, like, meeting different people who have different opinions and who maybe don't agree with you but still like what you do, or maybe love what you do and stuff like that. It's interesting about the sexism thing as well, because I found myself the opposite of that. I keep picking it up more and more as I get older. I think that's probably because I went to university when I was a bit older, when I was 24 actually. We did feminism and film theory and in English and Scottish literary theory rather, and that was so affecting to me, and that was like a second wave for me almost of like from being apathetic to going, oh holy shit, there's like this as well. Like, I'd never really thought about it too deeply before. And obviously you deal with those sort of sentiments and those experiences in your lyrics. And have you found people, like, reacting to that in positive and negative ways, or is it mostly positive?
Yeah, it's totally all positive. There's like, there was one guy on Twitter, I don't know if either of you saw that, but he absolutely kicked right off. But he was just trolling, like, Twitter. But, yeah, that I was surprised. I thought someone might say something, but no, I guess we're just, you know, the only people listening probably already thought that. So I kind of want someone to kick off a little bit, just so that we know that it's hitting people that maybe had contradicting beliefs in the first place, but apparently not.
I guess when you keep doing bigger tours and playing with bigger bands, you're more likely to come into contact with that. You know, I think that's just naturally going to happen, and that's good. I like a good political. I like a good debate. When people take it personally, you can, like, come on, like, we're talking about intellectual issues here. Don't be a dick.
Yeah,
you know,
it's good to, like, yeah. The whole point, isn't it, is to, like, make people ask questions. That's the whole point, isn't it, for people who maybe don't agree to talk about it, and not in, like, a, you know, you're right or, like, I'm wrong, whatever kind of way. It's like, let's talk about it, and sort of then people get more, I don't know, more aware of different ideas, and then everyone can be a little bit more diverse.
it's good that you said that, because I was thinking about this recently as well. It's like, I think people tend to like to get into those kinds of arguments, but ultimately don't go in with the sort of thesis, I guess, in their head of like, I'm open-minded enough to change my mind. They kind of get into it, and it's kind of like, well, you know, after like I don't know, like two sentences, you're just kind of like, well, this person's not going to change their mind, so what's even the point?
Yeah,
like, what's even the point of talking to this person about this?
And that's why they started the conversation, to argue,
just to get up in your face about
you
know, some stupid issues, which is kind of, I've talked way too much in this podcast. I hate talking about myself.
Yes.
It's the worst thing ever. I'm going to go back to my questions, although I think I might have covered a lot of them. I guess one of the things I probably should have said there is, like, ultimately, kind of what you're doing is exposing people to, hopefully exposing people to ideas they've never come in contact with before. Which is, I guess, I don't know. Do you guys think that's...
Well, I hope so, but
it's hard to know, really.
I think the scene that we play in at the moment, everyone's quite aware, because like, issues do get raised and they do get resolved, and like, I think everyone feels a certain sense of responsibility to sort of educate other people, and also like, speak out if there's some kind of, you know, if there's something wrong is said or something. So yeah, I don't know if, I think at the moment, like you were saying, like, maybe it will spread to people who don't sort of share that, but I don't know. There's no way of telling, really, is there?
I mean, obviously the scene, the punk scene that we're all in, I guess, is it does obviously promote inclusivity, but I go to a lot of punk shows and I still see a lot of guys there. Do you think it's still it's obviously still an issue?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. I haven't, there hasn't been another girl so far on this tour playing. I don't know if that will, hopefully there'll be a girl in the band the next few days, but yeah, I think that's definitely an issue. And also, like, it's one of those things where I imagine that almost every guy in the audience will know that's an issue, but they don't know what to do about it, because it is like hard, like, what can you do? But I guess just invite, you know, friends that are girls and try and make an effort to do that. But yeah, that's totally an issue, but that's kind of like it's quite a passive issue, isn't it? Because no one's like confronting you. It's just sort of like a visible thing, really. But there are lots of girls in the audience as well, and lots of girls say that they like the show, so it's hard to feel negative about it.
That's true, yeah. I think that I've come to the conclusion that I've gotten older as well, that it's probably up to the responsibility of guys to actually say something as well about it, you know, more openly.
Definitely.
You know, I think a lot of guys don't, because it's just like, well, it's always been guys here, so like, you know, we can't change it now. It's like, well, no, you kind of can.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the same as just like, well, it doesn't affect me, so, you know, why bother? Which I understand, but it's not a very responsible
plus,
attitude.
A lot of guys don't even think about it, like, it doesn't even cross their mind because it's normal to them. But I guess that's what it's about, is making them realise, like, oh yeah, it is all just guys here.
Yeah, it's kind of worrying to see that kind of just totally goes right over their head.
Yeah,
still a lot of things to fight against, I guess. Just great. Bring the fight. I'm going to wrap it up now, I think. Do you guys get anything else you want to say, or anything you want to ask me before we finish?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Has anyone else got anything to ask? Any questions?
Or say, or statements to make. Or
what's your favourite cartoon?
Oh, good question. I've been watching Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, recently.
Have you been watching
Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law? It's you know, Hanna-Barbera, old Hanna-Barbera cartoons, like, you know, Yogi Bear and all that, and,
yeah,
and Birdman, and Johnny Quest and all that kind of thing. Well, in the early 2000s, some guys decided to make a TV show based on a Hanna-Barbera. There's a Hanna-Barbera cartoon called Birdman and Friends. So this guy was like basically bird, half man. They decided to do like an adult version on an Adult Swim, and it was Harvey Birdman. So the Birdman became Harvey Birdman, and he became like a lawyer. And he does like cases for stuff like the Jetsons and Yogi and Boo Boo, but like Boo Boo Bear's like a bomber and all that kind of thing, and it's just totally bizarre but brilliant. It's so funny. It's got Stephen Colbert in it. He plays one of the guys, and yeah, it's hilarious. It's all on YouTube as well. It's hilariously funny.
I just thought you were going to say Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah. Wow.
You should definitely check it out. I think it's really, really good.
Yeah, well, you will. Yeah.
We'll
it's
get
like
it in
10 minutes long per episode as well.
Oh,
so,
cool.
I'm pretty much laughing, I think. And then I need to ask you guys now, like, what's your favourite cartoon?
No, it'll sound really lame now because you've given a really good answer.
I don't know. Well, you might hate it, so it might be a really shit answer to some people.
I like Arthur.
I was going to say Arthur.
Such a good theme tune.
It's pretty sick. I used to love The Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah, that's good.
That was good.
I used to, embarrassingly, I used to really love Dragon Ball Z when I was younger.
Oh, no.
I had a little phase on that, but I
wasn't into that.
I had a big phase. Loved it.
Super embarrassingly, I used to love Woody Woodpecker.
That's not embarrassing. I used to love that.
Really,
I don't know what that is.
Woody Woodpecker. Really annoying.
It was just on like CBeebies or whatever.
Yeah.
I really liked Hey Arnold. I loved that when I was growing up.
That was good.
That was great.
There was loads of great ones, wasn't there, back in the day?
Recess
was amazing.
Yeah. Was that on like Disney or something?
I think it was on Nickelodeon or something, maybe.
Not sure.
I never had like cable or Sky TV when I was growing up.
So didn't have
like,
any of that.
Just like over on ITV or BBC. I was like, that's on after school.
No, Recess used to be on Sundays on Dig
ITV.
It.
ITV, yeah.
Dig It, that programme. Dig It. No, it used to be on that.
Generational barriers.
I do remember SMTV though, like.
Yeah, SMTV Live as well.
That's another thing. What happened to Kat Dealey? Where did she go?
Isn't she like world famous?
Cattle.
She did. She has, disappeared a little bit.
She's got kids and stuff.
Yeah, but.
Like, she's always on Instagram with her kids.
Taking a back seat.
She's not going to America, I think.
Don't know.
Really?
I think so. I might have just made that up.
All I've seen is people liking her photos on Instagram, and it's just like, playing with her kids on Instagram. So I figured maybe she's just getting paid for that or something.
Yeah, just paid to have kids.
Yeah.
This sounds a bit perverse. Cool. Thanks very much, guys, for talking to me. It's
Thanks.
Been great.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I always get a bit funny about interviewing whole bands, just because it's hard to write questions that can go deep when it's to three or four people. But I think it turned out okay in the end. I certainly enjoyed the interview, and I think we got some really cool information out of them. Really nice, engaged, switched on, politically switched on people, and I like that a lot. It just appeals to the political dude in me, I guess. Did I just say the word dude? Fuck. It sounds so weird when a Scottish person says the word dude. I apologise for that. I apologise for any offence or damage that may have caused. It's kind of horrible to think about now. Anyway, Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please get me over on Twitter, that's at The Curator Pod, and if you're on iTunes, I would really love a rating and review. I'm going to play you out now with a song, with another song from the record called Committee. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.